Good morning. Welcome back to Condegrees and HOAs. We're here every Sunday at 11 a.m. on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis here, and I'm here again with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs, PA. It's a law firm specializing in community association law and having offices in Fort Lauderdale, satellite offices in Orlando and Tampa, and I think Tallahassee, too. And we're here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. We'd love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions, no matter where you are in the state. Give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
Read our blogs and newsletters. Just make sure to go to our website at condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list, because by joining each week, you're going to get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars. Even more are coming up this week. Our newsletters, we just released another one, updates on the law and a lot more. Tomorrow's blog topic at hoa-condoblog.com. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Before making those material alterations, get that vote. Pretty important. Brand new case law, statutory law that we'll actually talk about today. But before we get going today, I just want to thank everybody who showed up at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Miami earlier this week for our Condo Craze Board Cert class. About 100 of you were there bright and early. I think it was Wednesday morning. And it really was an honor and a pleasure to meet and teach so many of you. If you were there, give us a call on this show today. Let us know what you thought. Again, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Karen, you'd be happy to know that many who showed up loved the show and said hello to you.
Hello, hello, hello. And you have another great event coming up next week, right?
Yeah, we really do. This one's fantastic. And it's going to be packed. Already we're packed to the rafters.
I love the venue.
Yeah, it's great. And if you ever wanted to know what the daily life is of a judge and what kind of issues they face and how they run their courtrooms, and a good announcement today about a really great event that Glazer & Sachs is putting on April 17th, 2018. I think that's a week from this coming Tuesday night. And it's going to be at Dave & Buster's again in Hollywood. Always a lot of fun. We had a great turnout the last time we did our event in Dave & Buster's. And where is that? That's 3,000 Oakwood Boulevard, that's in Hollywood,
yes,
and it starts, right off Sheridan, between Sheridan and Sterling, and it starts at 6:30 p.m., and that event is called Night Out with the Judges, and Glazer & Sachs has arranged for seven local judges.
Wow.
Seven judges are going to show up, and I'm going to provide some interactive insight into what their lives are all about, including a question and answer session. And there's going to be refreshments served, like always. And we'll have time to mingle with them and ask questions and, you know, be one-on-one and see how they run their courtrooms and what's in their heads.
So there you are, sucking up to the judges.
There, you got to do it, right? What, there's a sign that some lawyers have some signs on their desk that says, a really good attorney knows the law, but a great attorney knows the judge.
That's right, baby.
Right? And it really should be interesting and a lot of fun. To register, just give our office a call, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. That's for a night out with the judges. Again, April 17th, 6:30 p.m. We really look forward to seeing everybody there. So last year, if you remember, we spent a lot of time trying to get some condo legislation passed. We got it passed both in the House and the Senate. And then it went to Governor Scott to actually get passed. And what happened? Remember that fire, Karen, last year?
Yes.
In London, England?
Yeah.
Right. Now, our bill, a lot of the legislation that we drafted last year, was tied with legislation that allowed condominiums to opt out of the engineered life safety system. So what happened was, yes, the legislation passed, but everything was thrown into one bill.
It's like an omnibus bill again.
Yeah, correct. And condos would have been able to, let's say, avoid fire safety upgrades. So what happens? It passes the House. It passes the Senate. It gets sent to the governor. But before the governor signs it, there was that terrible, terrible fire in London. And what, it's like 50-something people died, from what I remember. Maybe
even
more.
Yeah, I think there was some sort of a combustible
material that building was made out of.
Flammable material on the outside of the building.
Right, exactly. So the bill gets to Governor Scott's desk, and, you know, talk about timing being everything. And he looks at this and says, you crazy? You think I'm going to sign this legislation?
Allowing people to opt out.
Right, and allow people to opt out of fire safety.
But what was the purpose of that?
Because right now the law was kind of crazy in Florida. You have a requirement under the law that says condos, if you're a certain height, you have to install sprinkler systems.
Right.
Okay? So the law gets passed that says condos can opt out of the sprinkler system requirement. And many condos have opted out legally of the fire sprinkler requirement if you're a building in excess of 75 feet. So no problem. The law is clear. You can opt out of sprinklers, right? However, the local fire departments and local fire officials says, well, yes, the law allows you to opt out of the sprinkler requirement, but it doesn't allow you to opt out of the engineered life safety system. So condos, even though you opted out of the fire sprinkler requirement legally, we're still going to hit you with the requirement that you install an engineered life safety system. Problem is, the engineered life safety system at times could be even more expensive than the sprinkler system that they were opted out of. So condos said, wait a minute, you really didn't help us by only giving us a statute that allows us to opt out of the sprinkler system when we're still going to be forced to install an engineered life safety system. So last year, there was a lot of effort to pass a statute that would now allow condos to opt out of the engineered life safety system. It passed the House, it passed the Senate, and again, before it went, was signed by the governor, it got to the governor's desk, and in the interim, you had that terrible, terrible fire in London, England. Yeah. The governor got this bill and said, I'm not going to allow condos to opt out of an engineered life safety system. I'm not going to do that. So we now have a system in Florida where high-rise condominiums out there, yes, you might have gone through the difficult task of getting 75% of your unit owners to opt out of a sprinkler system. However, guess what? The fire marshal can still come around and say, hey, guys, you have to install now an engineered life safety system.
Which is what?
And there's nothing you can do about it. It's basically a combination of things. It might actually require some sprinklers in certain places. It might require a fire exit plan. It might require, you know, certain flammable materials to be, non-flammable materials to be used in certain places. And it's done by what I understand to be a basic point system. If you build up enough points, you've met the requirements of an engineered life safety system.
Oh.
And that's how it works. So again, right now, too bad if you opted out. You spent the time, you spent the effort, you spent the money on opting out of the sprinkler system. But if you're building in excess of 75 feet, your local fire official can still say, well, too bad, you got to put this engineered life safety system in. So that's how all this happened. So all the laws that actually passed last year died when Governor Scott vetoed the bill. Again, why? Because it was tied
all together.
Right, it was all tied together. So this year, we kind of went back to the drawing board, right? And remember, last year, a lot of laws were tied to condo crime, right? A lot of laws because of that crazy
right.
Miami-Dade grand jury report.
Right.
So this year, we went back to the drawing board. We did away with tying the condo law changes to a fire safety bill, separated the two of them so that the governor wouldn't veto the condo changes. And sure enough, we wound up with massive, massive changes this year to the condo law. But before we talk about them, let's go to our first commercial break. Taking your calls, everybody, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Do you know the state of Florida has implemented new laws requiring websites for associations? And they haven't given you a lot of time to get it done. Good news. There's no need to worry, because the expert team at Easy Apps and its website division of Graphics Plus are ready to assess your needs and build a state-compliant site for your association. Board members, this is the right time to take advantage of digital technology and reduce your workload. You'll be able to increase awareness of community events in real time, save money on printing and mailing of newsletters and other documents, collect monthly dues from members of the community right from their phone, communicate with your management company, post notices and other documents, and so much more. And now, for a limited time, Easy Apps and its web design division is offering a discounted price when you order a website and app package, so you can be compliant by the July 2018 deadline. They'll take care of everything and complete the work in time and within budget. Get ready before the rush. Schedule an appointment today at 954-829-2273. That's 954-829-2273. Or visit graphics-plus.biz.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER. 1-800-30-FIBER. Or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Eric is here to answer all your questions about anything related to condo or HOA law. The number is toll-free, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585, and a lot of new laws to talk about.
Exactly, so let's get right to it. So there was always a question as to how long associations have to hold the official records of the association. A couple of years ago, by the way, it was clarified that what is an official record? It has to be a written record.
Okay.
Because things like videotapes, the unit owners were asking for, like surveillance tapes, and it was becoming expensive to actually make copies of those things. Mm. So the law was changed a couple of years ago to say the record has to be a written record in order for it to be called an official record. An official record is basically anything and everything related to the operation of the association. Okay? So it's wide definition, broad definition. If it's potentially related to the operation of the association, it is an official record. So the law now makes it clear that the condo association has to maintain the original documents like the declaration, the bylaws, the articles, the rules, even the plans, the permits, the warranties, and the minutes of all meetings from the inception of the association. Okay? I mean,
wow.
None of you have all of that stuff, you know, from the inception. But now it's pretty clear. All of these documents have to be held from the inception of the association. All of the other official records, right, your bills, your bank records, things like that, copies of contracts, those have to be maintained for a total of 7 years.
So if I'm a resident or someone that wants to see the copy of the laundry room contract,
yes.
Can I see that, or is there
attorney?
Absolutely,
you can
see.
There's
no attorney-client privilege?
Nope, no attorney-client privilege, nothing like that. You get to see all the contracts that your association has entered into, and you can actually see contracts, any contract that's at least 7 years old. You know,
okay.
If that document was executed at least 7 years, the association is required to hold on to it. Certainly, if it has automatic renewal clauses, the association should be maintaining it anyway. But now that it's clear, if all the records within the last 7 years have to be maintained by the association, period. Don't throw them out. So be pretty careful when deciding what goes in the garbage and what stays. And, of course, we'll get to it in a little while, but, of course, you're going to be able to put those on the Internet and be required to put them on the Internet soon on a website if your association has 150 or more units.
But we'll talk about okay.
That as well. Okay, so another thing that a lot of associations or unit owners have complained about over the years is that the board passes a special assessment, right? But all of a sudden we're at a meeting. We didn't know it was coming. They didn't tell us how much the special assessment really is for. They didn't know what the payment terms were, you know, so we're kind of shocked when we get this special assessment notice. We didn't really know what was coming. So the law was actually amended now as well when it comes to special assessments, and here's what the law says. And this is for those playing at home, Florida Statute 718.112, and it has to do with notice of meetings. Notice of any meeting in which regular or special assessments against unit owners are to be considered. Those notices have to specifically state that assessments will be considered, and the notice has to provide the estimated cost and description of the purpose for the assessment. And in addition to any of the authorized means of providing notice, the board can, by rule, adopt a procedure for posting the meeting notice and agenda on the association's website. So even if you have a website, you can use the website to post notice, but you still have to give that 14-day notice in advance, posting and mailing if it's a special assessment.
Mm.
So bottom line is, boards, if you're going to pass a special assessment in your community and you got to give that 14-day notice, that notice now clearly has to be very, very specific, and you have to say, must specifically state that assessments are going to be considered at this meeting, and you got to provide the estimated cost and a description for such purpose. So, in other words, you're going to post your meeting for at least 14 days from now. The board is considering a roof assessment, right?
Mm-hmm.
The estimated cost of the assessment's going to be $1 million, and again, it's to repair the roof. Then everybody shows up, throws darts at you, and you have the meeting, and you pass it, and we go on from there. But everybody has to know to bring the darts, so everybody has to be given notice in advance.
It's my fault the roof is leaking?
Yeah, so exactly. So bottom line is no more surprises when it comes to special assessments. All right, we already spoke about the fact that, if you remember, last year the Florida legislature originally passed a bill that, or didn't pass it, they proposed a bill that said we want to encourage associations to put the official records of the association on a website.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the bill was originally drafted, it only applied to associations with 500 or more units. So this
actually
affected less than 1% of the associations. Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I went up there and had a couple good meetings and convinced the legislature to drop it from associations with 500 units to associations with 150 or more units.
Why not every association? I
think it's a good idea. I guess for the smaller associations, they're looking at it as potentially being cost prohibitive. Is it expensive to set up?
Oh, to set up a website.
Yeah, maybe in the beginning it might be a little expensive to set up, especially if the records have to be held for 7 years. I get it. But after that, the maintenance really should not be no big deal at all. It should be, you know, not expensive. You know, how many checks does an association write in a given month? How many bank statements come in? How many minutes of meetings? You know, what does it put? You know, maybe 50 different pages go up on a website a month to scan it. I don't think it should be a big deal. So that originally what happened was that this was supposed to go into effect July 1st, 2018. Okay, so literally, we would have been now, April, May, June, July, 3 months away from forcing everybody to do all this. But I guess a lot of associations were panicking. We were getting too close to the deadline. So the Florida legislature says, okay, we'll give you a little bit of a reprieve. So instead of doing it by July 1st, 2018, we'll let you extend to January 1st, 2019.
Okay.
So you bought yourself associations another few months. Still not a requirement for HOAs. But for condos, this requirement to put your documents on a website, if you're 150 or more units, goes into effect now January 1, 2019. Okay, so I think we got our first call of the day.
Did.
Who do we got? Marty in
West
Palm Beach. How are you, Marty?
Good. Just a quick question. I live in an HOA, that right now has Comcast as the TV provider. As bad as all cable companies are, they're thinking of switching to another one, which I know is much worse than Comcast.
Okay.
My question is, can I still personally keep Comcast even if the HOA changes to another one?
I don't think you can, because I don't think that, I think when the wires are done, mm-hmm. you know, unless you're using like a satellite service, when that building makes the change for you, it's over. I think you're basically forced to go with that new company. You know, and this was a provision that was put in the HOA and condo statute several years ago that allows condo associations and HOAs to sign what's called bulk cable contracts. Now,
right.
it's kind,
so even
sometimes
if I want to pay whatever the full rate is, I can't keep Comcast.
I don't think you can. I think the only thing you might be able to do, and I'm certainly no expert in this regard, but I believe the only thing you might be able to do is to, if you do you have a balcony, like a terrace?
No.
You don't, so this might not even be applicable to you. But some people might be able to put like a little satellite dish, a portable satellite dish on their balcony, and then they would be able to get like DirecTV satellite service. But if you don't have that, then I think you're stuck with who the condo goes with.
Okay. All right, not what I wanted to hear, but...
No problem. Wish you luck, Marty.
All right.
Hey, you know what I did last night, Karen? It's
what?
Funny that Marty raises an interesting point. I got one of those Amazon Fire Sticks last night, right? I wanted to give it a shot.
Sure.
And so, you know, it's like $30.
Right.
And all of a sudden you have access, you know, you plug it in and you got access to so many different, like, apps. It's a little different than regular TV because you're downloading, like, an app. You're downloading, like, the Hulu app.
Right.
There's an app for CBS.
Netflix.
There's an app for ESPN. There's an app for Netflix. And, you know, the Hulu one, they even say you could watch live TV. So, I don't know. So they sell all these packages for, like, you know, $30-$40 a month. You can get all these channels. And now you're saying to yourself, well, wait a minute. Is the, you know, really, is this the future? And apparently it is.
Yeah.
Why should I pay, you know, $200 a month with a cable company if you can get the Amazon Fire Stick and download these apps and have access to all these things? But, you know, it's like anything else. It just takes a little getting used to,
yeah,
I guess.
My daughter doesn't have cable. She has what you have.
She has that. Yeah, I mean, I still have my cable. I want to, you know, see what it's like. But I'll tell you, I think when you see the future coming, it's like, why? I think people are going to be switching to this.
Yeah.
Why spend, you know, if you can spend $30 a month, $40 a month, why spend $200 or more a month to have access to the same TV?
Oh, yeah.
It's just a matter of getting used to hitting different buttons on your remote, apparently, rather than, you know, having your regular cable channel lineup.
Things are changing so rapidly.
It's pretty wild. Like we were talking before we went on the show. There's a whole stretch of real estate in New York on Broadway from, like, 49th to 57th.
Broadway.
Not one retail store is open. Not one.
Wow.
And they're blaming Amazon for, you know, for that. Can you imagine on the busiest shopping street in the country, probably.
Is that by Times Square?
A little north of Times Square, yep. You know, a few blocks north, but on Broadway. Not a single retail store. You know, tremendous amount of signs that say, you know, great business opportunity, really. If it was such a great business opportunity to rent that location, somebody would be there, right?
Yeah.
But no, it's not. It's vacant. It's empty. So we are in an ever-changing world, and it's happening pretty quick, quite frankly.
It's true. But, I mean, the advancements that we've made, if you look at our time on Earth as a rope, you know, we're just like the very, very tippy tail end of it,
right?
In terms
exactly.
of advancements.
Yeah, but pretty scary if you're a retail business. But let's do this. Let's take a bottom of the hour break. Taking your calls, everybody, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting,
cleaning and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance, Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.com.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association. Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFMN. Aaron Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. He specializes in community association law. And you can give him a call, ask him a question about anything condo, HOA, or co-op related. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
How about we go to Donata, Donata in Miami.
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Eric, another condominium is trying to pass a amendment, which I'm very okay. I'd like your opinion about it. It says proposed amendment to Article 14.4 for the amendment declaration condominium association entitled to seek reimbursement of attorney's fees and costs incurred in trying to obtain compliance with the governing documents of the association from the unit owners responsible for the attorney's fees and costs being incurred, regardless of whether or not legal action is brought to enforce compliance.
Yeah, right. Okay, so let me tell everybody basically what that means. So right now, if condo writes a letter to somebody who's not in compliance with the governing documents, whatever they did, you know, that they brought their dog to the pool, or, you know, they used the laundry room after when it was closed during hours, whenever it was, or they're too noisy and they require the lawyer to write a letter. So the law basically says that the only way that that unit owner is responsible for reimbursing the board, or reimbursing the association, I should say, for the attorney's fees incurred is if an action is actually filed, right? And a court determines who the winner is. And if the unit owner is the loser, then that unit owner would have to reimburse the association their prevailing party attorney's fees and costs. So the only way that you get your attorney's fees back is if you actually become a prevailing party in an action. But a lot of times associations say, well, wait a minute, it's not fair. Sometimes we write letters and the unit owner complies. So we spent money hiring our attorney to write that letter. The unit owner caved in. The unit owner is now listening. Why shouldn't that unit owner be responsible for reimbursing the association? Problem with that argument is, suppose the unit owner says, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong, or it wasn't me, something along those lines, and then the association says, still, we were forced to write the letter, you got to pay, and if you don't pay, we're going to, you know, sue you for it. And leave. Well, no, that's kind of unfair to the unit owner. So, you know, it's a tough call to say, but I understand why they want to do it, because that original letter that goes out to the unit owner that says comply, even if the unit owner complies, there's nothing in the documents that says the unit owner has to pay for that letter. You understand, Donata?
Yeah, but is that legal?
If you amend your documents,
they're going to make up letters just to send, just for you to pay lawyer's fees.
Yeah, understand. You know, is it legal? I can tell you this, that, you know, there's a case, the Woodside case in condo law, that basically says, you know, it's so difficult to get condo unit owners to agree on anything. if you get 75% of the people in your community to agree to an amendment, the courts will basically not interfere in that amendment, in that agreement, unless it's basically clearly unconstitutional. And I don't think that such a statute would be clearly unconstitutional. So if it passed, yes, I think it probably would be enforceable. And then the problem becomes for the unit owner, who says, well, that wasn't me, I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now what? The association still has the right to demand the money, and then it turns into a court action anyway. So, you know, so it's difficult to say whether or not the statute would actually solve anything or not. But let's see how it turns out in your building. Let me know how the unit owners vote. I'd certainly love to see how that comes down. Okay?
What I heard till now, for example, I didn't receive a proxy for this. Some owners received it, but some didn't. How are we going to know?
Doesn't matter. You know, the only thing that gets counted anyway are votes in favor of the amendment. Now, my guess, by talking to you, you aren't going to vote in favor of it anyway. So, in effect, it doesn't even make a difference if you got a ballot or you didn't get a ballot, because only yes votes count when you're trying to amend your governing documents.
Ooh.
Okay? Donata, we got to run. Got to take John in Boca Grande on line two. How are you, John?
Great, Eric. Thanks for all your input for us. A quick question regarding the recent passage of the law in Tallahassee. What impact does this have on HOAs, not COAs?
You have a pen? Write down the word none.
Or you can also give us a URL to go to find out what the difference is.
Forget about it. Forget about HOAs. Nothing happened this year. HOAs, okay. It's like you don't exist. And we'll get to it. There's like two statutes that passed. Let's get to one of them right now, okay? One of them says is regarding email. And this was pretty controversial, okay? And it already existed for condos, but in HOAs now, members of the board, you can use email as a means of communication, but you can't vote on an association matter via email.
All right.
Okay? So I want everybody to realize how crazy this is in a sense. Okay? Let's say you get you have a five-member board. All five show up, and obviously they didn't notice it. It's a and they get together and they start talking board business. Clearly a violation, right? Needed to be noticed. It's clearly a meeting, right? Let's say you get those same five members in a room, right? Same five members in a room. Each of them bring their laptops, right? And they sit next to each other. And they don't talk board business, but they email each other, right? All day long, you know, about everything that's going on in the condo. That's now okay. That's fine. But had they actually met and discussed verbally, that somehow violates the statute.
So, and Eric, if it's in a condo and they're emailing, does that become an official record?
Excellent question. Okay, so now the point is, so now
that's
the legislature made it clear.
Slope.
Right, you can email each other, right?
Right.
Pretty clear. So now the question is, do those emails between the board members become official records of the association? And you got to look to arbitration cases for that. And arbitration cases say, no, they do not.
Oh.
If those emails stay on the private email addresses, the private email servers of those individual board members. So they use their own email accounts to email each other all day long, not an official record. However, those emails wind up on an account that was specifically set up for the association, for example, right? Or the manager, those now do become official records. But board members can communicate all day long on their private email accounts, and as long as it's not, again, copied onto account for the condo or the manager, private, nobody can see them. Now, let me preface that. When I say nobody can see them, that means nobody can walk into the office and make what's called an official records request to see those emails. The board can say, nope, those are private emails. Now, that doesn't mean, and it's really important for board members to understand this, that does not mean that just because they're not official records, that one day you can't get served with a subpoena in a court action requiring you to turn over those emails in a court action. Yeah, you might not have to turn them over as an official record if someone makes a document request, but a judge might force you to turn them over. So be careful when you send emails to each other.
Yeah.
Don't think that just because the case law says that nobody can see them, don't think nobody will ever see them.
Especially if you're targeting a resident
exactly.
or doing something nasty.
Yeah, before you hit send on that email, if you're criticizing someone, if you're talking bad about somebody, you know, you're using profanity, if you're about to do something and hit send, just think that email one day possibly could be passed around by a bunch of jurors or a judge. It
so
absolutely
that's all for
can
HOAs,
happen.
Correct?
No,
that's for condos and HOAs this year, correct?
Okay.
That's basically the big change for HOAs.
Briefly, that if you then went to a board meeting after all of those emails were sent,
yes,
and you then confirmed the let's just say you're approving a downspout or electrical system, whatever it is, and then you go to the board meeting and approve it there, then it's fine and dandy.
Yeah, no problem. The board actually has to take that vote at a board meeting, at a real board meeting.
Right.
You can't vote by email. But you can say all day long, yeah, it looks like Joe is the best contractor. We'll vote for him at the next meeting. Absolutely. That's now legal.
Any possibility on taking the second one briefly?
Sure. Second question?
Document amendments?
What's your question?
Oh, on the HOAs, you said there were only two things. That was
document amendments, right. Basically, when associations, when condo associations make amendments to their governing documents, when you send out those proposed changes to the unit owners, you have to put the original text in of how it reads. You send it out to everybody, and words that you're going to add to the statute or add to the declaration are underlined, and words that are going to be crossed out are stricken through. And the question was, does that process now apply to homeowner associations? And the answer is yes, it does. Okay, so now condos and HOAs.
Redlining and that kind of stuff.
I'm sorry?
It's redlining the old document, the old stuff. And
exactly. So now condos and HOAs, you basically amend your documents the same way.
Gotcha.
Okay, but that's about it.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for the phone call. Let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. When we come back, still taking your calls, but time is running out. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Ah, the finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First, the technicians video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
Condominium Concepts Management puts your condo's interests first. Condominium Concepts negotiates the best prices and demands the best service from all the association's vendors and providers. There are no kickbacks, no add-up charges, no double talk, and all the savings are passed on to the association. Condominium Concepts Management understands they're there to help, not take control of your association. The licensed professionals work as a team with your board of directors to come up with joint ideas to make your community a great place to live. At a time when every dollar counts, Condominium Concepts prides itself on having reasonable fees, same-day response time, educated personnel, and an eye for reducing expenses for every unit owner. Condominium Concepts can also aggressively collect from the association's delinquent owners. Call Condominium Management Concepts, 772-618-5370 for a free quote. That's 772-618-5370. Learn how Condominium Concepts is helping the communities throughout the Southeast. Visit their website, condominiumconcepts.com.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. 1-888-298-8838. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities, all you need is Insurco. Get a free quote at 1-888-298-8838. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. 1-888-298-8838. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer and Sachs PA. His law firm specializes in community association law. Call quickly 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585, and you're going to be busy.
Yeah, definitely this week. Again, just reminding everybody, election season is coming to a close, and for condos and HOAs, if you don't get certified within 90 days of becoming a board member, you're off the board. One way of getting certified, take our Condo Craze class like the people in Miami did this week. We've taught it to about 13,000 Floridians.
Wow.
Our class was also approved for two 2018 legal update credits for all managers that attend. And, yeah, you're right, Karen, a couple more left.
Yeah, you know, and if, even if you're just a homeowner in the condo or whatever, it's always good to learn about what's going on. You don't have to be a board member or a management person. And the schedule is out. Eric, you're going to be all over the map.
Absolutely. Starting out this Tuesday, April 10th, Palm Beach at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo at the Palm Beach Convention Center. Again, this Tuesday, we start teaching 8:30 in the morning.
Oh, boy. And then on April 24th in Broward, the L&L Condo and HOA Expo at the Broward Convention Center.
And then April 27th at the L&L Condo and HOA Expo in Tampa. Love going up there. A lot of listeners in Tampa of the show, believe it or not, Karen.
Don't you also have a satellite office in Tallahassee?
In Tallahassee, yeah, we'll be in Tallahassee before you know it, too. Just trying to make arrangements for that.
Okay, Eric teaches so many different topics at the seminars, including the importance of the from time to time language, official records, as you heard, that, you know, there's changes in the law on that, different types of documents that govern your community, service and emotional support animals, collections, also manager responsibilities. All of the new laws that were passed this year and a lot more. And food, it's delicious, it's free, it's served. Everyone walks out with a beautiful frameable certificate and certainly a lot wiser.
Yeah, so to register everybody, just go to condocrazeandhoas.com and let us know you'd like to attend. Hey, Karen, I want to thank Stephen Bellick, who's a listener to the show. He just sent us an email. He's helping out another one of our listeners, Marty, who wrote in about the cable, that his condo switching from one company to another. Well, apparently Stephen has dealt with that with his condo called the Waterway Condos in Palm Beach. And he writes in, regarding the switch of cable providers, we're exploring the same thing as Marty described earlier. We will leave the Comcast cable in place. And yes, owners can elect to stay with Comcast as an individual, but they will not receive the bulk pricing. So now all of a sudden, you know, they're going to have an increased bill to pay for if they want to remain with Comcast. And the replacement bulk agreement fee per unit will be included in the maintenance fees no matter which service they use. Right. So you're stuck. You're going to be paying double. So Marty has to ask himself if not only you know, is he going to pay double, but he's not going to get the bulk rate on the Comcast bill, so the Comcast bill portion is going to go up, and he's still going to have to pay for the new company. So unless you really, really, really love your Comcast,
you know, like on demand.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense to stick with it. But how about we go to Kirk in Lauderhill?
Hi, good morning.
How are you, Kirk?
My original question is about this bulk buyer and the signees thing, which is terrifying. But you keep bringing up this thing about 75% of owners have to approve. In our documents, it says a majority, which is basically 50% plus one.
Yep, correct. And each association is different. Each association is, I would say the majority of governing documents out there, and we're talking about what's needed to amend your governing documents.
They have
right?
the nuclear clause.
Well, yeah, exactly right. That's really a nuclear clause, right? And
I heard
Kirk,
of that. What is it?
Okay, Kirk, you bring up a good point. Generally speaking, when the documents were originally drafted by your developer, it's very, very rare to see a provision in there that's anything less than 75%
right.
or two-thirds for the unit owners to make changes to the declaration of condominium.
That makes it hard.
Yeah, and you don't want it to be easy. You know, your declaration is like, you know, the Constitution.
Exactly.
Obviously, we have it's very, very difficult to change the Constitution, and kind of that's what you want in communities unless everybody's, you know, overwhelmingly in favor of it. Now, your provision, your governing documents say that you need a simple majority, and that's
right.
rare. I would say most governing documents don't allow for that. And oftentimes when associations have provisions in their governing documents which require 75%, sometimes one of the first changes, one of the first amendments you want to do is, okay, how about we make an amendment that says from now on, instead of 75%, we go to a simple majority. So apparently that happened previously in your condominium.
In the original, there's no amendment saying that.
There's no amendment. Well, very, very rare. So you're in one of those rare condos.
We are a strange duck, that's for sure. Yes. And I'm guessing it's because of the size of the association. They think it's going to be tough to get 417 votes in it around here.
Right. So now you need what? 209. 209 gets an amendment change.
No. We have 832 units.
Oh, you have 800. Oh, so now 400 of that, half of that is what you're saying gets you an amendment. Right.
One.
Well, again, that would still be a monumental task.
If my president brings that up, I wanted to change something. He says, well, we have to go nuclear. What is that?
It still means, bottom line, getting a majority of the unit owners in your condo to vote in favor of it. Still, it's still a Herculean task when you're dealing with a community in excess of 800 units. Very, very difficult.
We don't. They usually just say the majority of people actually voted.
No, okay, great point. Okay, now I had this recently with a condo here in Hollywood where the board read it wrong. I represented a unit owner who was challenging the amendments, and the board actually recorded an amendment because a majority of the people that showed up and voted voted in favor of the amendment, where that's not what the documents say.
No.
The documents say a majority of all owners. So we had to threaten a lawsuit, and the board actually had to unrecord that amendment.
Okay, because we have two sets on how to amend. One says simple majority, and then you read down a lot, changing amendments and bylaws, it's the majority of the people who show up.
Yeah, so I can tell you.
And these are the original docs.
You need an attorney.
Well, give us a call at the office. We can certainly help you take a look. 954-983-1112, 954.
I have your number. I've even been by your office, but I can't see these guys by myself. The real question is the threat of bulk buyers.
Okay,
how bulk buyers. We can, against those guys?
We can do a whole show on bulk buyers and what this amendment means. But to make a long story short, and we're running out of time, we only got about 2 minutes left. But what is a bulk buyer? During the early 2000s, there was a foreclosure crisis. Real estate was dead. So we wanted to find a way to make these vacant condominium units sell and move and, you know, help the market re-flourish, right? Problem with condos were that there was a theory out there that if one particular buyer accumulated too many condominium units, then they would be considered a developer under the law. And if they were a developer under the law, they may have certain maintenance obligations owed to the association and the unit owners, certain warranty obligations. They would not be able to control a majority of the board. So there was really no incentive to buy these vacant condominium units if you were going to be tagged with the term developer. So the legislature said, okay, we're going to create a new category of buyer. And this new category of buyer is going to be a bulk buyer, meaning we'll allow everybody to accumulate these units en masse, but we won't hit them with the burden of being labeled a developer. We'll call them a bulk buyer, so they won't have any of the obligations as a developer. And that will help stir the real estate market, and in effect it did. Now, that was only supposed to last until the real estate market turned around.
Oh, boy.
And the real estate market did turn around, obviously, yet this bulk buyer provision remains in place. So, and there was supposed to be a sunset clause, and now there is no sunset clause at all anymore. So persons who buy in bulk forever now, at least for the time being, I guess, until the statute evidently is sunset, and it just doesn't look like the legislature wants to sunset it, there's still going to be encouragement for people to buy condominium units in bulk without the fear of being labeled a developer. Not so good if you're one of the few in the condominium that are not a bulk buyer, because you have people moving in that still will be able to now take control of your board of directors and put you in the majority. But that's a great question, Kirk. Unfortunately, that brings us to the close of yet another week on Condo Craze and HOAs. Everybody, we will talk to you again next Sunday. Karen, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll see you again, everybody, next Sunday at 11 a.m. on Condo Craze and HOAs. Have a great week.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
Do you know the state of Florida has implemented new laws requiring websites for associations? And they haven't given you a lot of time to get it done. Good news! There's no need to worry, because the expert team at Easy Apps and its website division of Graphics Plus are ready to assess your needs and build a state-compliant site for your association.
Board members, this is the right time to take advantage of digital technology and reduce your workload. You'll be able to increase awareness of community events in real time, save money on printing and mailing of newsletters and other documents, collect monthly dues from members of the community right from their phone, communicate with your management company, post notices and other documents, and so much more. And now for a limited time, Easy Apps and its web design division is offering a discounted price when you order a website and app package, so you can be compliant by the July 2018 deadline. They'll take care of everything and complete the work in time and within budget. Get ready before the rush. Schedule an appointment today at 954-829-2273. That's 954-829-2273. Or visit graphics-plus.biz.
Tired of the lousy quality and customer service from your current internet and telephone provider? Are your monthly bills continuing to go up while the level of service you receive goes down? There is a choice. Based in South Florida, OpticalTel is a fully integrated telecable company utilizing advanced fiber optic technology to deliver video, internet, and telephone service to condominiums and homeowners associations throughout Florida, all at a great price. OpticalTel has defined itself as a leader within the MDU marketplace, providing fiber optics in your home or unit. OpticalTel covers the entire gamut of video, internet, and telecommunication deployment within the condominium and HOA marketplace. Call us before you sign that long-term bulk contract. OpticalTel is the clear choice for video, internet, and phone from beginning to end. Call 1-800-30-FIBER. That's 1-800-30-FIBER, 1-800-30-FIBER, or visit us at OpticalTel.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111.